Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It'd be amazing, obviously. I mean, the work and that he's put in every single day, every single where he's been at, I mean, he's had success. And so, obviously, we want to get him that Super Bowl, but we understand it's a process. We understand that, first off, we gotta come in, have a great practice today, and then play great this weekend, and then try to give ourselves a chance to be in that game and get a chance to get him that trophy.
That is Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. He's playing on Championship Sunday for the second consecutive year. They lost last year to New England. Trying to get Andy Reid that elusive Super Bowl in Kansas City, which has, again, been a big part of whether or not his legacy will be defined there. Willie P and Hugh Douglas here with you on a Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app, taking you all the way down to Championship Sunday. We'll have the coverage beginning at 2 o'clock right here on 92.9. Titans and Chiefs first, Packers and Niners second. Is this finally the year for Andy Reid in your mind?
I think so. I mean, he has a team to do it with. Only thing I'm concerned about is that run defense of the Kansas City Chiefs against Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has been running roughshod over defenses the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you hear guys disrespecting what he's been able to do. You know, he's knocked off two pretty good teams. Mm-hmm. And you got to give him the respect. And like I've always said, I said till I'm blue in the face, you have to be able to run the ball
right
at this time of year. And that's what the Titans are doing extremely well. You know, you talk about both of the games that they've played in, teams have known what they were going to do, and they still haven't been able to stop it.
Right.
You know, that's huge. You know, you'd not be able to stop that.
Well, that's the one thing I think that's very interesting about Tennessee, and we talk about this a lot, you know, on what's the perfect formula in 2019-2020 to win in the NFL. If you're able to run the football effectively and run it in a fashion where even when teams know that it's coming, you're still getting positive yardage, that's still a working formula in the NFL if you have the right personnel.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Like, I understand, you know, going to college football a little bit, and I understand the evolution of
the
college game, the air raid, RPOs, and all the other good stuff, but it still comes down to whoever can run the ball effectively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about Hilaire being able to run the ball the way that he did. I mean, it was all about Joe Burrow and his arm, no question about that.
But Hilaire definitely helped.
Yes, it definitely helped.
And, you know, it's funny. We even can draw it back to the Falcons. I mean, the best games they played this year
are the ones where they were able to run the ball at least
a little
100
bit.
Yards. Yeah.
And you could speak to this as being a defensive lineman. You know, the last thing that you want to do as a defensive lineman is play the run.
Like you don't want to play the run.
You want to go get the quarterback. That's what you want. And it's very easy, not necessarily to get lulled to sleep, but a team that runs the football as much and as effective, I mean, it has a debilitating effect throughout a game.
Yeah, no question about it, man. I just like it. I go back and I always think of it fondly because I've had teammates like with teams that run the ball, especially the corners. Remember playing with the corner, it was like, yo, Hugh, don't let them get outside you, man. Don't let them get past you. Damn it, I'm not trying to make that tackle. Like, I remember it vividly. I ain't trying to do that, man. Don't let them get past you. Don't let that big so-and-so get past you. And that's how it is. That's why when you look at a guy like Derrick Henry running,
right,
you don't so much worry about the defensive lineman. Now, he will try defensive lineman, and he will run one of them over. But the ones that are truly concerned about that are the guys in the secondary.
Right.
Like the linebacker. Because think about linebackers aren't Ray. You ain't too many Ray Lewis, Patrick Willises out there, Jeremiah Trotters anymore. Ain't them type guys.
No.
This is the little linebackers.
I say they're a little smaller now.
Yeah, they look like safeties.
Right.
Them cats, don't, man, you listen. You don't want
built
that
like,
work.
They're built like the kid who out of Clemson, Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, man, you don't want that work on the day. Man, you don't want that work every week. You don't want that.
I almost think about those old Giant teams you used to play, like Tiki Barber and Ron Dane, because not only did they do the run, but they used the screen a lot to set up the run.
Yeah, and they used the throw. Yeah, that was.
And that's the last thing you want to be out there doing with a lineman with a head of steam.
Screen. Yeah, chasing screens and all the other stuff. Then you think about those Stephen Davis years.
Oh, yeah.
And you like,
Washington,
load,
yeah.
Man, listen, load.
He was
and
heavy.
Ran downhill. And then you talk about a guy that was a bigger running back and ran with a lot of hate in his heart.
He had some hunger, as they say.
Yeah, he had some hate, hunger and hate, whichever H you want to choose, Will. He had both of those in his heart, and that's how he ran. It's a long day.
Can Tennessee can't win this game if they don't get the kind of performance out of Henry that he's had the past 2 weeks? Can they?
I think in this game, I mean, he's going to get his. I still see
you still
him.
Think he is?
He's going to get his, but I think that Steele's daddy, Tannehill, Ryan Tannehill, is going to have to make some plays.
He has to, and they haven't asked him to do a lot. I almost liken him to what the Jets used to do with Chad Pennington, high percentage throws, nothing, everything intermediate. You take a shot whenever you can find it. But I think they're going to have to ask him to do more.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you think about the playoffs as a whole and as we get deeper and deeper into the playoffs, just think about it like this because this kind of holds true. Okay, last year, Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Down the stretch, you know, they rode the running game heavy. But in the Super Bowl, he was asked to make some plays that he couldn't make because they shut the run down. Now, that's what you're kind of looking at. As these games get closer, they get tighter. And, you know, I think that in order for them to win, like Derrick Henry's going to still get his. But the way that Kansas City Chiefs team scored like 4 touchdowns in like 10 minutes.
In a blink.
They scored like 4 touchdowns. So, you know, like say, for instance, they get out there and they chew up the clock. They eat up the whole first quarter. They're going to have to slow that Kansas City Chiefs offense down, and they're going to have to win. They're going to have to win some downs that I don't really think that they're built to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? Against the way that team is playing right now. That's where the problem's going to lie because you're not going to sit there and you run the ball, you score a touchdown, they're scoring 2 touchdowns, and try to win that way. It's not going to happen. The quarterback's going to have to throw the ball. He's going to have to.
Willie and Hugh on a Sunday here, getting you ready for AFC and NFC Championship Sunday here on Sports Radio 98.9 The Game. Can Jimmy Garoppolo win this game if he has to for San Francisco?
I think he can. I think that when you look at Aaron Rodgers, it's not the Aaron Rodgers that won his first Super Bowl. Still
no.
A good quarterback. Still a good quarterback. Defense is playing well. Aaron Jones has been playing extremely well.
They run the football.
Yeah, they do. But the way this San Francisco 49ers team is young up front and they play good defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tough one. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is quarterback enough so that if he has to make plays, that he can. That defense is going to help keep them in the game, though.
It's bad, though, because I feel like of all the 4 teams, I think they're the one we know – the least about right now.
San Fran.
Because
when we played them, they were banged up
yeah.
a lot. They were banged up a lot.
And I don't know if you really can take anything from their game last week because I think it was just very workmanlike. And they handled
their business.
And I think they played a team that was kind of a dead man walking with Minnesota. I didn't really give Minnesota a chance to win that game last week.
I did.
Because you like Dalvin Cook. And I'm thinking, I told you, Dalvin Cook's going to be persona non grata. You won't even notice him on the field.
Yeah, I gave him a shot. Didn't happen that way.
It 15 yards. He had a representative day. Just saying. Yeah. No, but I'm just again. Yeah. I think that's part of the reason. Though.
I blew that one.
I don't know if I didn't mean to bring that up on that right.
Oh
but,
no, it's,
nah. But I think they're the team we know the least about. I think you know what Green Bay is bringing to the table. I feel like here's the other reason why for San Francisco. Because I think they can win in multiple different ways. Because they got the 3 different running backs.
Yes.
They got all these receivers.
George Kittle, George.
And you think about what Shanahan. I mean, Shanahan, when he doesn't get in his own way, can be a play calling sorcerer.
Yeah, and that's what people like last week. His play calling prowess. That's what people had people stuck. They were all in their feelings. Oh my gosh, did we get the right guy? Did we keep the right guy? Oh my god. Mm-hmm. He had an opportunity to leave and he left. Right. I mean, it's not like.
Plus, that's the same guy you were killing for not running the football.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's amazing. I just thought it was funny.
I understand. How much do you take out of the fact that they played in the regular season, both these teams?
I mean, it gives you game film. It definitely gives you game film, but the stakes are a lot higher. Stakes are a lot higher. You look at that last game, and it carries some weight. I can't mm-hmm. say that it doesn't, because I remember 1 year we played the Giants like three times mm-hmm. in 1 year, and they beat us all three times.
Yeah, yeah.
They beat us all three times. So it does carry some weight.
I say, who does that give the advantage to? Because, again, you run this whole little mental gymnastics with yourself, because in a situation like with Green Bay and San Francisco, San Fran kicked their behinds. I mean, it was 37-8, so they almost kind of know what works. But in the same way, Green Bay almost has the answers to the test, and they probably know that San Francisco can't come out with that same game plan.
Yeah, they can't. And they're going to watch that film, and they're going to look at all the mistakes that they made, and they're going to make sure they don't make any of those same mistakes. Mm-hmm. But that game, as far as the score and everything, I think it'll be a lot closer than that.
We've had some fired up discussion about the Houston Astros cheating scandal, that it's finally going to make its way to the air.
Woo-hoo!
And the mashup you didn't think you needed until you got it next on 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Ellenwood.
What's going on?
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Make sure you listen every day at 3 o'clock as we break down all the latest info on the National Football League with our NFL Blitz segment right here on Dukes and Bell.
I got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attached. Hat is matte black. I got the boots as black to match. Riding on a horse.
Ha!
You can whip your Porsche off. I've been in the valley. You ain't been up off that porch now. Can nobody tell me nothing? You can't tell me nothing.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna
Dude, Sam Elliott is that man. Like, I was watching him the other night. The movie, why you asked about the movie? I watched Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like, the best part to me in that whole, I watched that whole movie just to watch him and Nicolas Cage ride across the desert. Him on his motorcycle and Sam Elliott on his horse. That's like, that, to me, that was one of the coolest parts of that. Well, that's probably the only cool part of that movie.
So, would you say Sam Elliott, probably best character actor of this generation?
Man, he's been a lot of stuff. Like, yes. Voiceover actor, like what?
He voiced over
Ram.
Big Lebowski.
Definitely does in Ram. Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Was Roadhouse with my man Patrick Swayze.
So that
was Wade Garrett.
So that
see, Abe knew that right off the bat. He must have watched that last night.
So that, of course, is the Lil Nas X song "Old Town Road." That's part of a teaser for a Doritos commercial that'll be airing during the Super Bowl.
That'll be dope. Like,
that, and he's in. He's there like as a like a he's like an old cowboy gangster type guy.
But he's a cowboy. Like, yeah. When you think of Sam Elliott, you think general
mm-hmm.
and cowboy. That's it.
Yeah,
because he was in the first Hulk, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He was in the Ang Lee. Yeah. I think he was an Ang Lee Hulk.
You know the ironic thing about Sam Elliott? He's a Cali guy.
He's from California. Ain't nowhere near horse. Yeah. He has made a great living for himself being a voiceover actor and just an actor in general.
We were on the movie.
And Tombstone.
Yes.
Yeah, it was one of the Earp brothers, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I think so.
So we were on a movie kick for a little bit because I found this out yesterday. Tarantino did a piece with The Ringer. And he said that he was looking at two completely different guys. These are the two guys in Pulp Fiction.
Uh-huh.
The roles played by Samuel L. Jackson and Travolta. He had Lawrence Fishburne and Michael Madsen peg for those roles. Have Fishburne play Jules Winfield.
Trying to think, how would that work?
Right?
That might have worked. But I think it worked with Travolta. I think it worked the way that they did it, too.
And then, of course, this got us in a bit of a rabbit hole on some of the other, you know, guys who had turned down roles. Also, whose career would you rather have, Lawrence Fishburne or Samuel L. Jackson?
Oh, Samuel L. Jackson.
See, that's what I thought. And a couple people we were talking with yesterday were big on the Fishburne angle.
Well, you know what it is? It's because Samuel L. Jackson, like, I would say this. I think Lawrence Fishburne is the better actor, and the better thespian. Mm. But the guy who is getting paid just to be himself,
right,
is Lawrence Fishburne. Like, who doesn't want a job where you could just be yourself?
Right.
You know, you talk about the Alexa thing that he has going on, mm-hmm, for using cuss words. And just like, you know Sam Jackson.
Right.
You probably couldn't think of his one of his greatest acting roles, but you remember some of the cuss words that he threw out there. Like, MF is like right there. Yeah. Snakes on the plane. All that.
Yeah.
Listen.
That's the thing. He hasn't been in any movie that you would say was great or critically acclaimed to that level.
It's because he is himself. He is. You know what Samuel Jackson is? He's what most white people think that most black men are. Like, like, seriously. Like, seriously. I mean, all jokes aside, not trying to be funny.
No, it's.
But when you look at Samuel Jackson, if you came from another planet, and you thought he was the representation of most African American males, they would say, "Oh, that's he represents everybody. Like he's the guy. Like cuss words, like outspoken, speaks his mind, like all that."
I dare you. I double dare you.
Yeah, like that. That's him. That's what most people think when they think, and they're like, "Oh, he's a nice guy." You know, like yeah.
Apparently, you mentioned Nick Cage. He apparently turned down an opportunity to be in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he probably. What would he have been? Ranger?
He was going to be Aragorn.
Aragorn?
Yeah.
The Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably did us a favor.
You did?
He probably did us a favor. And real quick, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Drew Man, because he turned 55 today, and he was like, he just said, give me a birthday shout-out. So that's my man, Drew Man. Only bad part about it, he's a Redskins fan. He's a Redskins fan.
Travolta, I don't think, ever got his due either.
As far as what?
Just anything. I don't think he's looked at as greatly as I think he should. I think he's kind of underrated.
You mean greatly? Like, looked at greatly like what? What, for Flash? Like, what was that, Saturday Night
Fever?
They
have Fever? Not. What'd you say?
Saturday Night Fever?
I mean, I thought, I like him.
You're a Travolta fan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Willie P. I don't mean to crush your like, I don't, like, I knew that you probably grew up, he was your, like, childhood hero or something.
No.
I just don't look at him. He had a great bounce back career.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great bounce back career.
Right.
But what memorable movie has he been in? Like,
recently?
I'm sorry.
No. Okay. Recently?
I wish that your mic worked and you could jump in when you wanted to. Because I didn't get it out of my mouth good. And he jumps in there and says, Grease.
Grease?
Yes, you're right.
Grease.
After that run that he had in the 80s.
I was saying, he had a good run.
He had a wonderful run.
He had a great run,
He had a great bounce back career.
Yeah.
Great, great bounce back career.
He was great as we were talking about the OJ thing. He was great in that OJ thing as the attorney.
No.
He wasn't.
He was okay. Like,
he was Rob Kardashian, right?
Yeah, but he didn't do it. No, he was the dad.
Yeah.
He was the dad. Yeah. Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah.
He's not had, and remember he was a Gotti, wasn't he?
Yes.
Like, he's had a bunch of roles, man. After what, Phenomenon? Was it Phenomenon?
Yeah.
He kind of just said, you know what?
Weaved in and out.
I'm going to, hey, you want me to do this Dr. Pepper commercial? Hey, I'll do it. Like, he just started doing stuff that I think that was, you know, a little bit beneath him. And he kind of watered it down a little bit.
Did Battlefield Earth kill Travolta?
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
That was bad.
Where they were the people on stilts, him and Forrest Whitaker.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was a horrible movie.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on NFL Championship Sunday. We were talking about this a lot in the green room, in a break room, and, you know, Paul Crane is very hyped up about it, our guy on the updates today, and he and Abe were going back and forth. I just, you know, the fact that they gave the players immunity, Hugh, and this is how we got all this information, I'm wondering, because there are people who want more to happen to the players. I just don't know how you can do anything more after you gave them immunity, because you're looking at a grievance, a lawsuit, labor stoppage, like all that stuff is on the table if you end up trying to get the players after you promise them immunity.
Yeah, and you know what? I applaud MLB, the Players Association, for having that kind of power that baseball didn't even attempt to go after the players. Now, I know earlier in the week, when we were talking about this and this story started to break, I had the stance of I really didn't care. I didn't think it was a big deal because I didn't think anything was going to happen.
Mm.
As the week progressed,
oh yeah,
it got worse and worse. So I had to back up off of that. Because yeah. It's funny, Willie P. I had to do a show. I did a show in Houston. And a friend of mine asked me about that. And I said exactly what I said. I could just imagine how those people in Houston felt about me after that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things there. I still firmly believe that, I mean, it's bad. No question about that. But there's nothing major that's going to happen that's going to change anything. It doesn't change anything.
Mm.
It's just the team that got caught this time.
This is Jose Altuve when he was asked at an Astros caravan yesterday about what this does for the Houston Astros legacy.
Oh, yeah, you know, you don't want anybody to call you like that. But like I said, you know, I have two options. One, just cry. One, go out there and play the game and performance and help my team. And you know which one I'm going to do. So.
And this is him also on, you know, he basically at the beginning – this is the one that I think got people a little angry.
The time to comment about that, it will come. You know, it's a little early for me to say something about it.
Early? 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 What? Come on, man. That's come on, man.
No, I like the one where he said, like, I forgot the first part of the cut when he guaranteed them going back to the World Series again this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not calling a man a liar. Don't know him. But his facial expressions during that interview led me to not trust him a whole lot.
I don't trust any of them, man. I don't trust any of them.
Well, if you ain't cheat, you ain't try.
I understand. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I'm all about it, but at the same time, it's just like, man, you gotta stand up and face the music eventually.
Yeah, when you get caught, you get caught. Oh, my bad. My bad, dog.
Right?
My bad. I ain't getting my ring back, though.
He's saying it's funny how Abe picked this. It's poker a poker face.
Carry my poker face. He ain't got to love nobody.
Do you think any of those guys wear one, especially when they play like the Indians or one of those teams that they screwed?
No. They just be like, hey, dog, it is what it is. Like, people will be mad. Like, you have that one team. You had that one player that gets on that moral high horse and get on his soapbox and talk about how bad it is. Man, sit your butt down, man. Like, for real, sit your butt down.
Willie and Hugh on a Sunday, counting you down to NFL Championship Sunday. We're going to ask you next, which local pro team has pleased the fans the most? Willie and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Heck yeah.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
It's just great.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Willie and Hugh on a Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Also the radio.com app. Hugh, I'm only going to preface by saying that this was not something that I said, but I just found it funny. You know, Mike Leach, the new head coach at Mississippi State, former head coach at Wazoo and Texas Tech, just put this out on Twitter, and he put it out at 2:25 in the morning yesterday. He says, I don't know why men go to bars to meet women. Go to Target. The female-to-male ratio is 10 to 1, and they're already looking for things they don't need.
Is he married, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, that's a bold little move by him for saying that as a married man, but he's onto something there.
Dude.
I mean, because most of the women that I've ever seen here in Atlanta that were like fine were not at Target but at the grocery store.
Right,
they were doing the grocery store thing. So yeah, he's onto something, shopping, getting stuff done.
Yeah, you ever meet a woman at a grocery store?
Met a woman walking out of a grocery store before.
Look at you.
Man, I'll never forget it. Remember what she had on, everything. Yeah, but it was late at it. But in all fairness, I was leaving the club, and she was leaving the club, but too, and she went into the grocery store to get something, I guess, to eat. Mm. And then I met her coming out, so yeah.
My mother used to say this to me when I was in college. She said, go hang out by the nursing school, because nurses can basically – they're probably the easiest transferable career as far as where they can work anyway, because you're going to work in a career where you have to basically move around a lot.
This is true, because you know what's funny? I know a lot of nurses, and that's all that they talk about. I know a lot of nurses that do a lot of freelance work now, so they can work in any city that that they want to work in. So that's a good one. That's not bad.
Absolutely. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Willie and Hugh here on a Sunday. We asked this question, and Abe posed this question to us, and while it might seem like an easy answer, there are different tentacles to that answer. Which local pro team in Atlanta has pleased its fans the most? Braves, Falcons, Atlanta United, or the Hawks? I think the Hawks and Falcons are probably out of this discussion, and it basically comes down to the Braves and United.
Atlanta United, no question about it.
At least most recently, you should say.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you talk about, if we're talking about fan participation and the passion that the fans show for their team, Atlanta United by far.
What if we're talking about just all time in the encompassment of their histories, you'd probably have to say Braves, I would say.
Well, yeah, the World Series win, yeah. Yeah, because we're talking about being pleased is winning a championship, mm-hmm. and those are the only two teams that have done it so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And the other part of this is, you know, you wonder, of the four teams that we have, which one are you buying stock in for the future as far as the stock growing the most? Because I feel like Atlanta United is probably up at a level that's more – great. Like if you're thinking about them as stocks, they're probably at a level where it's hard to go higher than where they are right now.
Yeah. I think you're talking about since their inception.
Yeah.
Since they've been playing, which is like what, 4 years. And for them to have the success that they've had in such a short period of time, yes. I would agree with that.
Like it's a buy and hold stock, like an Amazon or an Apple. It's not something you would take and buy and
move around.
So
yeah.
So which stock of the three that are not United, Braves, Falcons, Hawks, which one are you buying stock in for the future in Atlanta? Which one do you think has the best chance to get to that level that United is at? Because you could say the Braves are in a situation where I'm not saying that they've peaked or they've reached a plateau, but they're kind of hitting. They're up against the ceiling right now, and they haven't broken
this
through.
This is a tough one because championship is like the measuring stick. Championship. Mm-hmm. Hmm. I'm going to break it down to its simplest form, because I know what you're asking, but for me, this is basically what I'm hearing. What team is in position in the next 3 to 4 years to win a championship? That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably lean more towards the Braves, because baseball is different. Like, baseball is a different entity, a different animal. We saw that this year, especially this year with the way that the Nationals came on.
Yeah.
And listen, we sat here, and I remember, the Nationals, they're in it. They're gonna go home early.
Right.
They won the first round. They're not going to beat. Who that was? The Dodgers? It was the Cardinals.
Yes.
Was it the Cardinals?
It was Cardinals, because Cardinals
beat us. Yeah. They're not going to beat the Cardinals. They beat the Cardinals. Well, if they beat the Cardinals, they're definitely not.
I know
beat
it sounds like sour grapes, but the Cardinals were soft, man. The Cardinals were soft.
They beat us.
I know. But we should have beaten them.
They beat us.
I know, but we should have beaten
them. They're not gonna beat the Dodgers. Oh, they're not gonna win.
Maybe Mike Soroka gets more than one start in the series, man. Maybe
they're not gonna beat the Astros. They're definitely not gonna do that. That pitching staff, they're not. No.
I feel like Atlanta could have beaten the Nationals in five games.
But see, this is the thing, though, and this is why
Abe
for
shaking
me,
his head. Shut up, kid. Shut up, Abe.
And this is why, for me, it's always hard. Like, people really don't understand how hard it is to win a championship. That should be an example for you right there. This team, who are they? Who are the Nationals?
Right.
They got hot.
The right time. They were a team like, think about UConn in the NCAA tournament.
Ain't nobody trying to hit that right now. Because you're talking about, that's the difference between having real aces and wannabe aces. Listen, they pitch well. I'm not taking anything
that's
away
like,
from
what I'm saying. It's like remember when Kemba Walker went on that run with UConn?
No.
That's basically what the Nationals did.
Man, come on.
Put him on their back.
No, and another example. You remember when, who was it, Bob Sanders for the Indianapolis Colts? Remember,
yes.
They were porous. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs, and when he comes back, they become a juggernaut of a defense that stops the run. right. and win the Super Bowl. Like you got to have talent, which every team has. But dude, you got to have a little bit of anointment with that as well. You got to have a little bit of luck, man.
So I see your Braves comment. I'm gonna play devil's advocate on it a little bit. Has the Braves management shown you enough that they care about winning championships? Because I don't know if you can say that after this week.
Well, see, that's not fair. I mean, I understand. Like, I understand we're doing a show, and we have to give our opinions about certain things. But I think that this is still a story that needs to be written. It's not written yet.
Right.
Because there are still moves to be made.
I'll tell you one thing. The front office that I trust the most is the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, because they haven't lied to us.
Right.
They haven't lied. And listen, to his credit, so much so that sometimes he might – like Trav has been the most – forthcoming.
He has the patience of Job, man.
Yes, he does, and he's very, very forthcoming, man. That's why I respect him, and I enjoy talking to him, because he talks to us in a way that sometimes, like, really, Trav skates the line from getting himself in trouble by some of the stuff that he says to us.
True.
And he's a good dude, man. So yeah, you got to be patient with that. So yeah, he's the guy that I put at the forefront of guys that have been real forthcoming when they talk to you.
You and I both like to call out hypocrisy. I'm going to do that next. And we'll also get back into some NFL conference championship chatter. Willie P and Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.